How's everybody doing today? You guys been enjoying that sunshine this weekend? Yeah. I was on my roof, but I'm going to get into that story in a minute. As you guys know, the reason why I'm here is because, in fact, if you don't know me, I'm Jeremy. I'm the children's pastor. If you have no kids, you probably never see me because I'm always with the kids, but I'm the children's pastor here, and came into work on Monday, was checking my email and saw that Pastor Ben's mom had passed away, and we knew that was coming, and so it wasn't unexpected, but she was starting to make a bit of recovery, and so it was kind of hard to see that she had, in fact, passed away. So we assumed that Pastor Ben wouldn't be here this weekend for being able to preach, but I figured Chris would take it because Chris always takes it when Ben's gone, so I'm okay with that. Got to work on Tuesday morning for our men's Bible study, and Chris said, well, actually, I was supposed to be gone this weekend, too, because I was going to be preaching at Foothills, because the pastor at Foothills just had their baby, so he was going to be gone, so we waited for Ben to get in, and we discussed it amongst all of us and realized that I was in the hot seat, so I figured, all right, I can handle this. I can do this. So we talked about what we were going to do and everything like that. And so then I started going through figuring out who I needed to cover for children's ministry. And I thought, okay, wait a minute. My regular teacher's gone for the 2 and 3 year olds, 3 and 4 year olds. My kindergarten first grade teacher had already asked to be gone. Ben's daughter's the second and third grade teacher. And I had just talked to my fourth and fifth grade teacher. They were all going to be gone this week. I'm like, that's not cool. And then I remembered that both of my children's church teachers were gone. So all of my teachers were going to be gone this week. And I'm going to be preaching, so I can't cover them. Thankfully, we have lots of nice people at our church. And I was able to go all the way down to the third string. And finally, after all of that, I was able to get all my teachers on and said, okay, I can handle teaching this week. And so I came in Wednesday morning, started doing my sermon prep. I was here for about 2 hours and I got a phone call. Hello? Anna just broke her arm and it's bent sideways. It looks like she has two elbows. I need to take her to the hospital. Okay, sure. Let's go ahead and do that. So I left my sermon prep, went and took Anna to the hospital. We were there for quite a few hours and got that all taken care of. Thursday morning, we took her up to the Shriners Hospital to go to the fracture clinic. They said, yep, it's broken, and obviously they knew that. But we were going to have to come back on Friday. So most of Thursday was spent realizing we were going to have to come back on Friday for getting her cast done. So got up at 4 o'clock in the morning on Friday so that we could make it to Shriners by 6 to sit in the waiting room because they had a problem with their computer for an hour. Finally got in, got Anna's cast all taken care of, got home, and it was probably close to, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock by the time I got back to any kind of stuff I wanted to do. And I forgot that the boys were going to have a birthday party on Friday that we had pushed off for several weeks, and Tricia says, we can't push this off any farther, so okay. And then, oh yeah, and by the way, tomorrow morning, on Saturday morning, the women had a baby shower for 5 of the ladies at the church. So that was something else going on. And as we were heading to Shriners Friday morning, Tricia goes, oh, wait, I'm supposed to be at a dental appointment this morning. So we called the dentist and said we weren't going to make that. So somewhere around 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday, I said, I've got to try and fix my roof that's been broken since November. And I've been pounding on and trying to fix. And you know how hot it was on Friday morning, Friday afternoon. I'm up on my roof and I'm trying and I'm banging and I'm trying to move things, get everything back into place, and finally said, that's it. Took my skill saw, clunk. And that's when I said, it's probably not a smart thing to be on the roof in this weather under this kind of stress, because that was probably $100 I just chucked over the side of the roof. But does anybody feel like that's your life? I mean, That's how it just, one thing after another after another. I was talking to the ladies next door when my kids were over there playing, and we're talking about this, and the neighbor lady says, yeah, you know, I look at the calendar and it makes me tired. Don't even get anywhere, and I'm already tired. Just feel like every day is so busy that we can't keep up. Sometimes I feel like calling time out, but I don't know who the ref is, so I can't. talk with my wife, we describe it as kind of like getting on a treadmill. You don't know how you got on it, but you're running because if you stop, you're going to fall over, only to realize somebody's at the other end turning the speed up constantly. It's just, you can't keep up. So what do we do to stop this? How do we get off the treadmill? Is there an answer to this problem? Yes, there is, and we're going to get into that right after we pray. So if you bow with me. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today. I praise you for your word and how it speaks to every aspect of our lives. And I pray as we look into it this morning that you would speak through me, speak through the words. I pray that you'd bring your holy word to bear on our lives this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would be honored and glorified in all that's said today. And may we learn from it to glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So where's the answer? What's the answer for us? God does address our schedules in his word, and he gives us hope. And surprisingly, of all places, God addresses it all the way back in Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. There's a biblical basis for margin all the way back in the Old Testament. We need margin in our lives. We need rest in our life. And God introduced a day of rest all the way back at creation. God's plan was that there should be a day of rest every week. Coincidentally, the 7 days of creation is the only legitimate explanation we have for why there's a 7-day week. If you go and you do research, even scholars will admit that they have no idea why there's 7 days for the week. They can explain why we have the days we have in the year, why we have the number of days we have in the month. They can even tell you the names that have historically been given to the 7 days of the week. But as I was reading even this weekend, restudying this, one of the posts on this website said, so the only thing we know for sure about the 7 days of the week is that we don't know anything for sure as to where they came from. Well, I can tell you for sure where they came from. God instituted it all the way back at creation. Why? Why did God do it? Because that is the way he wanted it. 7 days in a week. And yet God intended one day for rest. God blessed it and made it holy. He set it apart for rest, because that's what the word blessing means, to set apart for a specific purpose. So God blessed the Sabbath, blessed that seventh day, and set it apart for rest. The next time we hear about the day of rest is when God gave the Israelites manna in the wilderness. God made it so the people could only collect enough food for that day. If they collected more food than that day, it would breed worms and it would stink and they couldn't eat it. And so they have to go out day after day after day and get their daily food. Except on the sixth day, in which God says, you'll collect twice as much food. I'll make sure it doesn't stink. It won't breed worms. But that way you can rest. This is the first time that the word Sabbath is used. First time it appears in our Bibles, almost exactly the same word as the Hebrew word for rest. You could almost say that God Sabbathed the seventh day. Look at Exodus 16, 29 and 30. See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each one of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested, or Sabbathed, on the seventh day. Sabbath is a day of rest. It was a gift to the people. God was trying to say, take a day off. How many of you, when you miss Sunday, feel like your week is just twice as long, like it never ended, right? You get that? I hate it when I miss Sunday because I need a break in my week. I need to be doing something different so I know that it's not one continuous line unending, the daily grind, as it's called. It was a time off. It was a break for the people. When God finally does give the Sabbath in the Ten Commandments, he doesn't say, keep the Sabbath. He says, remember. Look at Exodus 20, 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath to keep it set apart for what it was intended for. 6 days you will labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work, you or your sons or your daughters or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who lives within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. You see, the Sabbath already was established before the law was given. The Sabbath is connected with the foundation of the earth, with the created order. Just as there are seasons, days and nights, there's summer, there's spring, there's fall, there's winter. We have all of these seasons, this up and down, this change, and Sabbath is established all the way back in the foundational order of creation. God says 6 days of labor. You have 6 days in which to do all your work. In other words, if you can't get it done in that amount of time, you've bit off more than you can chew. And I think this is the place where most of us fail. We have 8, 9, 12, 14 days worth of work that we're trying to squeeze into 1 week. See, when we overschedule our lives, everything becomes a crisis. When you have no break, you have no gap, you have nowhere in which to squeeze the emergencies, then everything becomes an emergency. So no wonder why we're always tired, why we're always stressed, why we never feel like we can have a real day off. It's because we're trying to do more than the time we have to do it in. So God set aside this seventh day. It was intended to be a rest for the Jews unto the Lord. It wasn't just a day. It was a day of rest, and it was a rest to the Lord. God actually wants us to stop? God actually wants us to relax? To sit down once in a while? To stop going and going and going and going? I lived up in Alaska for a while. We lived off the road system out in the bush. Fly in, fly out only. If you wanted to run away, good luck, because you ain't going to get anywhere. And if you run out of money, you're still stuck there because you can't fly home. So, and that's where we were. Guess how much money we saved? Tons of money. You can't go out to eat. You can't go to the store to buy stuff because there's no mall there to buy anything at. Everything you bought, you had to buy online. Well, gee, that defeats the purpose of wanting to click and buy right now, because it's going to be 2 weeks before it gets to you. So we saved all sorts of money. But you know what we also saved? Time. When we first got there, I was preaching, and the first Sunday, okay, what time does church start? Oh, you know, sometime around when everybody gets here. Okay, but what time is that? I don't know, 10-ish. Okay, so at 10 o'clock we can start. All right, it's 10:15 and only two people are here. Is this everybody that's coming this morning? No, no, no. There's more people. Okay. It's 10:35. Can we start now? Oh, no, no. Joe hasn't shown up, and Bob and his family are normally about another 10 minutes late. Sometime around 10:45 we started service. It drove me crazy, but guess what? After living there for a while, it was like, oh, wait, listen. And all of a sudden, I learned how to breathe. I sat down with one of the guys on our board at the church, and I was talking. He says, a native guy, he goes, Pastor? I said, yeah. He goes, you talk too much. He goes, you need to learn how to listen. Man, that was hard. But you know what I learned? People have a lot of great things to say if you can take the time to listen. All of a sudden, I realized all these things that we're doing all the time was getting in the way of what we were actually supposed to be doing. And that same guy on our board, when we're getting ready to move back down to the States, he says, be careful. Watch out for the rat race. Because when you leave here, you won't get another chance to be like this again. And it's true. Life is busy. Everybody's screaming for your time. Everybody wants you to do this, that, and the other thing. And every member of your family that you add is another schedule that's multiplied upon your schedule of stuff that has to be done. But remember that rest. To keep it holy, set apart for the purpose in which it was intended. To be special, different from all other days of the week. For the Jews, it was a sign of faith in God. Could they trust Him to provide regardless of their effort? What if God didn't send the manna the next day? Then what would happen? Well, they had to just trust that God would. God took the Sabbath and made it a covenant and a sign for the Jews. Exodus 31, 12 to 14 says this, "Above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths." Think about that. Everything else that God gave in the law, and He says, "Above all? Above all, keep my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between you and me throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. That I, the Lord, set you apart from all other nations. That I, the Lord, set you apart for a purpose. This weekly time that you don't do anything." For the Jews was a sign between them and God that God had set them apart. "So you shall keep this Sabbath because it is holy, set apart for you." Keeping the Sabbath was a sign to the Jews and to the world that God had set them apart, had sanctified them. How important was it to God that the Jews kept the Sabbath? Well, the next part of verse 14 and verse 15 pronounced a death penalty for any Jews who did not keep the Sabbath rest. Sounds pretty important. But it wasn't intended to induce fear. It was meant to show them the seriousness, how serious God was about a day of rest. According to the context of this passage, God wanted Israel to rest, to be refreshed. He even says, on the seventh day of creation, I rested and I was refreshed. And so you do it. And the weekly Sabbath wasn't the only rest that God intended for His people. There was also special rests, special Sabbaths connected with every Jewish feast, every Jewish holidays. In fact, they even had a whole year. Every 7 years was a sabbatical year where they weren't allowed in an agricultural time. They weren't allowed to sow. They weren't allowed to reap. They weren't allowed to bring in the harvest. They weren't allowed to do anything but just let the land do its thing. They could walk through the land, pick and eat, but they couldn't harvest it. Imagine that. How many people would like to have a year off every 7 years? Is there some way we can talk to Congress and get that enacted? I would love that. But a rest for the land and a rest for the laborers. God even promised that if they would trust and obey Him, He would be the one to provide, and not just provide 1 year. Look at what it says in Leviticus 25, 20 to 21. "And if you say, 'What shall we eat in the seventh year, if we may not sow or gather in our crop?' I will command my blessing on you in the sixth year so that it will produce a crop sufficient for 3 years." But even with all of God's promises that He made to them, they failed to keep God's rest. And God had to punish them. God judged the people of Israel and sent them to 70 years of captivity in Babylon. 70 years not connected with their idolatry, 70 years connected with their failure to keep the sabbatical year. 490 years they were in the land during the time of the kings, and for 490 years they didn't keep the sabbatical year. So God sent them into captivity for 70 years. If you want to look that up, that's 2 Chronicles 36, 19 to 21. He sent them into captivity to fulfill the Sabbath years to give the land the rest. Did the people get the message? Yeah, when they came back out of captivity, Nehemiah 10:31 says that the people swore, "We will keep the Sabbath. We will not do any of this stuff on the Sabbath day." Now, lest you think that I'm gone Old Testament on y'all and I'm growing the beard and wearing crazy clothes, that's not the case. I just want to lay that out to you, where it came from and how it came through. I realize that we're New Testament believers. I realize that we are not under the law, but under grace. I'm not asking anybody to keep any law. What I'm trying to show you is that this Sabbath time, this day of rest, was established way before the law was given. It was established at creation before there were any nations. When there was one man and one woman, one day old, God rested. I think that's when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but that's just me. So when the cat's away, the mice will play, but you know, all that. I just want you guys to see that a day of rest was established all the way back at the creation. So how should we view the Sabbath? Let's start out with what Jesus said. Mark 2:27-28. Jesus said, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a gift to man. It's subservient to him. Man's not subservient to the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." The Sabbath is to be a rest. It was a gift of God to all mankind. It was not a burden. But the Jews had taken what God had intended to make life easier, and by adding their traditions, their rules, and everything to it, they had turned it into a weight to be hung around the people's neck. In this parallel passage to the one in Mark, in Matthew 12:5, Jesus pointed out to the people that even the priests regularly would break the Sabbath, because they were in doing the work of the temple, the work of the tabernacle, every Saturday, and yet they were guiltless. So, should we keep a Sabbath? Should we keep it on Saturday? I'm going to tell you this. God wants you to take a break. That's why you have night and you have day. It gets dark, so it's harder to go out and work in the fields. There are seasons. It's warmer in the summer. There's snow on the ground in the winter. You can't plant in the snow. It doesn't grow. God intended for seasons in life. Times of work. Times of rest. For everything, there is a season. And I still believe that God's intention for us is to have one day out of seven to be for rest. I'm talk about day-wise in a minute. But you have 6 days to get work done in. Reserve one day to rest. One day off. One day to relax. How many people would like a whole day just to relax? I would. Question arises, well, then should we worship on Saturday? You guys missed the point. I'm not talking about worship here. I'm talking about rest. Sabbath is a rest. The Jews worshiped on Saturday because it was the only day they had off. Except for the priests, of course. They were working. But worship was added to the Sabbath. It never superseded its purpose of rest. When judged for breaking the Sabbath, God never said anything about them failing to worship on the Sabbath. But he did condemn them for failing to rest on the Sabbath. Christians since the resurrection have worshiped on Sunday. Matthew 28:1. Now after the Sabbath, which would be what? Sabbath is Saturday, so Sunday. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb to look for Jesus. And where was he? He was gone, right? He was resurrected. We worship on Sunday because it was the day that Jesus resurrected from the dead. It's the foundation of our faith. You see the same thing in the other Gospels. In Acts, Acts 20, verse 7, and 1 Corinthians 16, 2, we see that the early church continued on with worshiping on the first day of the week. Acts 20, verse 7 says, "On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread." 1 Corinthians 16, 2, "On the first day of the week, each one of you is to put aside something to store up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collections when I come." You guys realize this is the very reason why we have a two-day weekend? Why we here in America get to have 2 days off? One for rest, one for worship. Do we have to rest on both? No. God said, you have 6 days to do your work. If you have stuff that you got to get done, sixth day it. Get it done on the sixth day, on your Saturday or whatever, and take Sunday off. Or get it done on Saturday and take Sunday off. I regularly work Sundays after church because Friday is my day off. Pick a day that works for you and take some time off. Can you imagine how different we would look from all the people around us running around like chickens with their heads cut off if they look over and they see us relaxing, resting, enjoying time with our family? Pick a day off where you feel like you've had time off, where you've rested. Let me talk about, day of the week is irrelevant to me. Point is, 1 in 7. That's, just have to have a break, a break, a break. If God took a break when he created the world, shouldn't we take a break? It's what he set it up for. Did God need sleep? Was God tired after creating the world? He did it for us. So if you're going to pick a day, what should it look like? I'm going to give you 4 R's for what a Sabbath rest should look like. There's rest, refresh, restore, and recreate. Now, these are going to look different for every one of you because you're all different. They're going to look different for grandparents than they do for people who have little babies in the house or whatever. Everything's going to be different. So I'm going to give you just some ways to think about it. Rest. Number one, stop it. Okay? Stop working. Relax. The main idea here is downtime. Take adequate time off. We need to schedule intentional downtime. You notice how I said that? Schedule it. This day, at this time. When I was pastoring at our first church, I was interning under another pastor. And he said, "Do you have a day off?" I think. He's like, no, you need to have a day off. This is what I want you to do. I want you to go through your calendar, take every day of the week, break it into 3 time slots. All right? Every day has 3 time slots. Now I want you to take 6 of those slots, and I want you to black them out with a marker. That way, those slots are reserved for your family, because if it's blacked out, you can't fill it in with anything. Thought that was pretty smart. Schedule intentional time off. We need intentional downtime. Turn off. Unplug. Don't bring work home for your day off. Don't check your work email. If possible, turn off your work phone. Let the answering machine take your calls. Be fully where you are. That's what your family wants anyways. When you're at work, be at work. Work to your hardest. Be a great employee. Be a hard worker. Be industrious. Work. You have 6 days in which to work. But when you're home, be fully home. Learn how to separate those two. Try not to work on your to-do list on your day off. Do that on the other day. Sixth day it. I'm going to just say that. That's going to be my new catchphrase. Let's sixth day it. We'll work on fixing the roof on the other day I have off. That way I don't cut the other half of my roof off and throw it over the side. Or do it in the evening on the days that you work. Rest. Take a nap. Lounge around with your family. Sleep in. Make a nice breakfast. That's what we like doing. All right, so rest. How about refresh? Some of you ladies might want to take an evening bubble bath because it's going to relax you. Have some scheduled alone time if you're an introvert, or scheduled conversation time with your family if you're an extrovert. Whatever emotionally refreshes you. Sit on the porch with a relaxing beverage and watch the sunrise or the sunset. Or watch your kids play in the yard and get over that urge to get up and go do something because I gotta get something done. Relax. Work together in the garden if it's refreshing. If you're yelling at your kids, then get out of the garden. Go do something else. If you don't feel refreshed after doing something, then don't do that on your day off. Save it for a different time, a different day of the week, sixth day. How about restore? In our fast-paced world, we've replaced relationships and significance with busyness. Somehow we think that if we do more, our lives will have more significance. But instead, they're just busier. Our relationships are less. Our significance is less. Restore. Work on relationship building between you and God, between you and your family, and between you and your spouse if you're married. Between you and God, go to church weekly. Take some extra time in God's word or in prayer on your day off. Just schedule a little bit more time in there with God. Dedicate it unto the Lord. Listen to some good Christian music as you relax, or get an extra message on the radio or something and listen to that. I'm not telling you have to do all of these things. Otherwise, I'd be as bad as the Pharisees, putting more burdens. All I'm trying to do is give you ways to think about how to have off time. Work on relationship building with your family. Take an extended morning to make breakfast or have cereal for dinner and give mom a break. Do something crazy. Watch an inspirational movie or any movie together with your kids, but then stop afterwards and talk about it. Do something I hate doing and let your kids ask questions through the whole movie as you grit your teeth and say, I don't know, I've never seen this movie before. Watch it, you'll figure it out. Have fun with your family. Or maybe do both together. Plan a time of connecting spiritually with your kids. Have lunch after church. Have a special bedtime routine that you do only on your day off, where you sit and talk for an extra 20 minutes before you turn out the lights. And then date your spouse. Friday is my day off, and so Trish and I start that on Thursday. Thursday's our date night. Every week we make sure that we have somebody that can watch the kids so that we can get out, because we need it. We need to restore our relationship because life gets crazy. And if our life didn't have space in it, then when we came to a week like this week, like my wife says yesterday when we're getting ready, she's like, okay, we need to get off of this because I'm feeling distant, like I don't know who you are right now. We need to get some connection time. And she's right. We need to have time to restore relationships. And then the fourth one is recreate. Do something fun just for the sake of doing it. Just for the fun of it. Something different than every other day of the week. Take a walk, take a hike, go ride a bike. Take a drive in the woods. Sit down and play a game with your kids. Do something on their level. Play Legos, I don't know. Do something where you end up laughing together and building memories with your family. If you're out of the house, take some time to go back and visit your family. Take day trips or one-day vacations. Just do something different. Recreate. See, a Sabbath margin won't just happen. If you don't schedule your time, somebody else is going to schedule it for you. So how do we create space? Start by thinning. We all have more to do than we have time to do it in. Schedule less to do more. That doesn't make sense, does it? But it's true. Schedule less so you can accomplish more. Do less things and do them better. When we overschedule, we don't have time for real ministry. When we're so busy that we're always cranky, we don't have time to actually minister to our kids, to our family, to our neighbors, to our friends, because we're always going and we're always on the move. And yet, God told the Jews to share with them the stories, to share with them the beliefs as they sat down, as they stood up, as they walked along the road. How are you going to do that when you're always running from one thing to the next? See, we have to not only choose between the good and the best, we have to now choose between the best and the better. We have so many good things available to us that we have to say no to some really good things in order to do the best things. Are the things you're busy doing the things you should be doing? Are the things you're busy doing the things you should be doing? Are they the ones that God has called you to? Or are you just doing them because you feel guilty to not do them? Well, if my kids aren't in this, then that I won't be a good parent. Or if I don't do this, then somebody at church is going to look down on me. And when does it stop? Schedule your priorities. Don't prioritize your schedule. Schedule your priorities. Don't prioritize your schedule. It's okay and even good to say no to activities. Even good activities. That's why my family doesn't do sports. Do you realize how hard it would be to have my family in sports? Just practices alone would cost me about $800 in gas. Your kids might be upset now, but they will thank you in the future when they have memories with you. Somebody once used a 50% participation rule. If 50% of your family that's at home is not participating in this activity, don't do it. Pretty good idea. Protect your time. Time is more than money. A good deal is not such a good deal if it takes time away from your family. Think of all the money I'm saving fixing my roof and all the time I'm spending up there not. I am not happy with my roof. If anybody wants to buy a house with no roof, I'll get it fixed. But that great deal of doing it myself so I can save that money has not turned out to be that great of a deal. Avoid time wasters, too much TV, too many games, puttering around doing nothing. Avoid them throughout the week so that you can be more productive throughout the week so that you feel able to take time off on your day off. What day should you choose? I don't really care. Whatever day works best for you, Sunday, Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, Friday, whatever. Whatever works for your family. What if I can't take a day off? Well, that needs to be addressed. Long term, that's not sustainable. In present, get as much of a day off as you can. Think about those six blocks and try and block some time out for your family. Plan it or it won't happen. See, space is good, but we need to have intentionally unscheduled time in our life. We need to have intentionally unscheduled time in our life. It will be hard to start. It will be even harder to keep. But it will honor God, and it will be worth it. It will be worth it for you, for your family, for your testimony to the people that live closest to you. If you feel like you never have time, but you feel guilty whenever you find that you're not doing something, then it's time to start looking at things from God's perspective. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity to be here. I thank you for the way that you designed life in such a way that you gave us time off. And I pray, Lord, that we would trust you to take that time to be with our family, the ones we love, and to spend time with you. Be honored and glorified in this week, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.